Welcome back, everyone, to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliani with Steve Garcher, and we're talking about the prodigal son today. But before we go on, I'm going to have Steve tell you about something that's coming up.
Yeah, on Saturday, March 13th, there will be a festival of praise at St. Cosmas and Damian Church on Ravenna Road in Twinsburg at 7 p.m. Again, that's Saturday, March 13th at 7 p.m. at St. Cosmas and Damian on Ravenna Road in Twinsburg. And it's a festival of praise for about 2 hours. We just praise the Lord, and it's an awesome time. So if you're able to, please come and attend and enjoy the worship.
And will Denny be doing the music too?
Denny and I will be doing the music, yes.
That's awesome. That would make it worth the trip.
Yeah. Are you going to sing?
No. Only if the building needs to be evacuated. Yeah, that's actually, that is an awesome event, and you really should come. And as you just heard Denny advertising the prayer group there on Sunday, Steve and his wife Sandy are always there and do the worship for that as well. And I think you would really enjoy seeing a prayer meeting where there's awesome praise and worship, and the power of the Spirit manifests itself, and it's really a great place. So we left this young man sitting in a pigsty without anything to eat, being smelly, wearing who knows what, let's say rags, for want of a better term. He had to leave his Ralph Lauren and, you know, Brooks Brothers stuff at the probably got repossessed. And now he's wearing smelly rags and living with pigs. And the Pharisees are cringing. So what's happened here? You know, this is an example of what happens with rebellion and with sin. For a while, it's fun. You know, when the parties were going on, when the women were coming in and out, when the drinks were flowing, his rebellion and his sin was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, he was real full of himself at that time. And now he's living in a pigsty.
Made no provisions for the future.
Exactly.
Not working. Just, you know, when you're not working, you're spending all your cash. It doesn't take long to go through it.
That's right.
Yeah.
And he realizes now that when he was planning to leave, and when he was planning to run away, and when he was planning to be as far away as he could from his father, this really hasn't brought him much satisfaction now.
No,
the end point of this is pretty bad. You know, he thought it was bad being there with the father and the brother and doing that kind of stuff. Now he wishes he was back there. Mm-hmm. Because he's in a bad situation. And he realizes his position. This is the cool thing.
Yeah.
He realizes that he's lost. I mean, this is the analogy, of course, is a sinner who realizes he's lost.
He's seeing his own reality where he's at.
That's right. Yeah. He's seeing his condition. And, you know, although the Bible says sin gives pleasure for a season, after that you realize this is what the sin has led to. Mm-hmm. And he starts to see that now. And he somehow, you know, he's in this wretched condition. Got the rags and the pigs. I mean, he's a mess. He couldn't get much worse than that. And somehow, deep down inside, he starts to think about his father. Because now he starts to think, you know, the servants at my father's house are in much better shape than I am over here.
They've got food to eat.
Yeah, they got food.
And I'm dying of hunger here.
That's right. And maybe they're not wearing the Brooks Brothers and the polo stuff, but at least they've got clothes. And they've got real food. And they've got a place to sleep. It doesn't smell so bad. So he kind of realizes his situation and somehow in his head realizes that his father's the solution to this. You know, deep down inside, God puts that imprint on us that we need to turn to him. Mm-hmm. You know, he puts that presence inside of us somehow that if you realize it and if you listen to it, you realize he's the only way out of this mess. He's the only way out of my sin.
Yeah. I mean, it's a theological principle that God continually draws us to himself, even when we are rebellious in our nature, in our human nature. and we turn away from God and we want to do our own thing, God, by his grace, continually draws us to him, but yet he still gives us that free will that we can choose to respond to that grace mm-hmm. or that call, or we can choose not to respond to it. And as I think about my own life, there was that point in time where I had to surrender to the Lord. Mm-hmm. I had to surrender to God's call. Because I realized I was, as my one friend said, well, it's your best thinking that got you here.
So, yeah, this kid had some pretty good thinking, too.
Yeah, that was his best thinking that got him into that situation. And it's a reality check of being separated from God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because as we're going through this parable, and this young man's coming to his senses, and he's getting ready to say, I'm gonna get up, I'm gonna go to my father, and tell him that I've sinned against you, I've sinned against heaven and you,
mm-hmm.
and he's ready to repent and confess his sin to his father. And there's that I think there's that moment of grace when someone realizes their situation and comes mm-hmm. to that understanding where they've reached the bottom of where they can go. And for everybody, I think that's a different place.
Mm-hmm.
Some people fall a little, some people fall a lot.
Sure.
And unfortunately, some, I think, they keep falling. But when you come to that place of realization where you recognize God's grace and you say, I can't do this on my own anymore, I've got to trust in God. It's interesting how I would start to realize, even the times when I wasn't walking with the Lord, how God made provisions for me, for my wife, and just to have a roof over our heads,
mm-hmm.
just to have, enough money to pay for bills and stuff like that. Really, even in our disobedience, God's mercy is so great that he, even in those moments, he doesn't abandon us.
Mm-hmm.
He still looks for us to come mm-hmm. back mm-hmm. and draws us to himself.
Yeah. That's what we're going to get to here in a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's well put. Great. That's a great example. And I think the other thing too is, when he realizes about his father's house, he prepares this confession in his mind. Cause he's not just gonna, pick up a cell phone, call his father and say, hey, I'd like to come home. Cause he knows that's gonna be tough
yeah.
after what he's done, especially like, give me my inheritance and I'm out of here kind of thing. So now he's thinking like, how am I going to go back? I have to have some kind of a confession.
Mm-hmm.
When we're out in rebellion and we're over there doing the stuff and God's over there, we're thinking, well, if I'm going back there, I got to, I can't just like go barging in. I got to kind of like, get a confession ready and I got to approach a little cautiously here.
Yeah. Right.
And, he prepares this in his head and, like you said, and it's actually kind of nice, he repents. Says, I sinned against you, I sinned against heaven, and I just want to come back. I'm not worthy to even be your servant. Because, he realizes that living this life of sin is not worthy of what he's supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's feeling like he let his father down. He feels that he's been a failure. Like you said, his best thinking got him there. And now he prepares this confession. And he gets up and he goes, which is kind of neat.
Yeah.
He just goes. And he doesn't know what his father's going to do.
Right.
I mean, his father could say, okay, you wanted your money, you wanted your stuff. Now you're in big trouble. Too bad.
Yeah.
You brought it on yourself.
Yeah. How's that working out?
Yeah, how's that working out for you? Yeah, go back and find some more friends.
Yeah.
Or his father may say, well, okay, you can come back, but you're going to have to live with the servants. You're going to have to do the hard work. I already gave you your inheritance, so you're not getting anything else.
Mm-hmm.
You live with the servants' quarters and you eat whatever they eat and do whatever they do. He's not thinking what's actually going to happen.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't know the whole story yet.
Yeah.
So, he runs away and now he goes back, which is kind of neat.
Mm-hmm.
At first he says, I'm taking all my stuff and I'm leaving. Now he says, I'm leaving the pigsty and I'm going back.
Yeah.
So that's pretty neat. And, you know, as we know, one of the works that the Holy Spirit does is enlighten your mind to sin and convict you of your sin and show you where salvation is.
Right.
And, you know, the Spirit's acted on this boy who now leaves the place and starts walking home.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't call him, say I'm coming, doesn't send any emails, doesn't send a messenger.
Probably doesn't have money for a stamp.
So he's walking back and he realizes that his current situation was his own doing.
Right.
You know, he's not blaming his father anymore. He's not blaming the other brother. He's not blaming whoever.
Yeah.
This is my situation and I got to go back now.
Isn't it interesting that at first, you know, when you're talking about he's not blaming his father anymore, but when you first read the parable, you see he's really blaming his situation that he has on his father. Like, you know, if I was away from this, I'd be, you know, much better off.
That's right.
Then when he goes away from it, he realizes I was much better off over there. The grass isn't necessarily greener over in that other pasture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because of what happens with sin all the time, by definition, is now his relationship is broken.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Adam and Eve walked around in the garden and God talked with them and they hung out together. But when they disobeyed, I mean, think about it. They had one law to follow and they couldn't manage that.
Yeah.
One thing is all they had to do was one thing and they couldn't manage that.
Don't eat from that tree.
Right. It sounds like it would be pretty simple. But once the sin was committed, the fellowship was broken.
Right.
And this guy realizes now the relationship's broken.
Yeah.
So he doesn't know how his father's going to react when he gets there.
Mm-hmm. And so there his father is. He's coming back to him.
Mm-hmm.
And his father sees him off in the distance.
Yes.
You know, he doesn't call his guards to go, hey, there's my son. Go get him and, you know.
Yeah.
Bring him back here. And we're gonna, you know, discipline him for what he did.
Mm-hmm.
Completely the opposite. It's really a story about the mercy that God bestows on each one of us, because forgiveness is, you know, when you ask somebody for forgiveness or you're forgiving someone, that's one thing, but mercy is when you don't deserve the forgiveness, mm-hmm. nor do you ask for it. And that's what mercy is all about. That God gives it to us even though we don't ask for it.
Yes.
And we don't deserve it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. The father sees him coming from afar. Now, you know, they presumably have a big piece of land and they have a whatever it is, some kind of farm or. So to see him from afar, the father's looking for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not that he happens to walk out on the front porch one day and says, who's that coming over there?
Mm-hmm.
He's looking for him. And when he's still far away, he sees him. And the cool part of this is the father's ready to take him back.
Yeah.
Like you say, he doesn't say, oh, here he comes. Go get him and bring him over here and throw him in the servants' quarters. And
lock the doors, everybody.
I'll talk to him later. He's ready to accept him back. It's really an amazing response. And it's, you know, it goes like you're saying to grace and to mercy because it's unmerited.
Yeah.
The kid doesn't deserve his father to say, oh, come on back in. And, you know, he took the money, he badmouthed everybody, he took off, squandered the money.
Yeah.
And now he comes back dressed in rags, smelling like a pig, and the father is ready to take him back. There's, you know, from our point of view, the father could have rejected him.
Mm-hmm.
Many fathers would say that to their sons. Well, now you're coming back because you ran out of money and because you need a job. Well, forget it.
Right.
You're not coming back.
Right.
You know, you can just turn around and go back to where you just came from.
Right.
I mean, he could have done that. And it shows you that the love that he has for this boy is not an earned love. I mean, this boy didn't earn the love.
Right.
He earned punishment.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of being punished, he gets grace. Instead of getting punished, he gets mercy.
Yeah. I mean, he only, you know, he had this confession prepared, and his father runs up to him, embraces him, and kisses him. And, you know, the son's, you know, the son is, he has this confession that he's going to get out.
Yeah.
And, you know, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you, and I no longer deserve to be called your son. And his father just, that's all he gets out.
That's right.
His father calls the servants.
Yeah.
And get him a robe, get him sandals, put a ring on his finger, and let's have a feast.
Yeah.
Let's have a celebration.
And he's probably been rehearsing that confession as he's been walking.
Yeah. And that's, it reminds me of when I was, I think I've told the story before, when I was in Cancun and I was drug out into the ocean by that one big wave. And, you know, I was so far from the shoreline when I was brought up back out of the water, and I remember seeing how far I was from the shore. And by the grace and power of the Holy Spirit, one day in prayer, the Lord showed me that he reminded me that when I was that far out in the ocean, and I can, the shoreline looks so far away. He really showed me that, he said, you know, that's how far you were from the cross, because you couldn't see my love for you.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's an awesome testimony.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, the Father, like you just said, the Father doesn't just see him coming and say something. He sees him coming and he runs to him.
Yeah.
I mean, the impression from the word is that this guy, you know, runs out the front door and he's, you know, running up to the road, and he's going to run to meet him. He's not even going to wait till the kid gets to the porch or even to the property line or whatever it is. He runs out to meet him.
I wonder what his son was thinking.
Yeah.
Oh boy, here's my
dad.
Here
we go. Yeah.
I'm in for it now.
And, you know, he throws us. I mean, he doesn't just come and shake hands with him. I mean, aside from rejecting him, which he could have done. He doesn't come and say, okay, I'm glad you're home. Shake hands with him now. Go get cleaned up and come in for dinner, and I'll tell you what we're going to do with you.
Ooh, you stink. Get away
from me. Yeah. Would you go take a shower before we do anything?
Yeah.
It's, you know, he throws his arms around him. And, you know, the Greek in this means he's covering him with kisses.
Yeah.
I mean, this is way out of line of what this kid thinks is going to happen.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable, and Jesus uses it as an example of what the mercy and forgiveness and grace actually is.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what he's done;
he's
smothered with hugs and kisses.
You know, when you think about it, you know, I know last week we talked about the Life in the Spirit seminar. We talked about God's love, and that's really God. God meets us where we're at, and he cleans us up. You know, we come to him a little bit battered, a little bit scarred, a little bit bruised, and probably a lot dirty.
Yes.
But his love just, he embraces us with his love. And by the grace of the Holy Spirit, we're cleansed. You know, the Holy Spirit is really the sanctifier that cleanses us from our sin.
Yes. And if you look at verse 20 and 21 there, this running and throwing arms around and kissing him is all happening before the kid gets his confession out. Then he gets his confession out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the father's not even waiting to say, okay, what's your story now?
Yeah.
You know, let's hear it. He's hugging him, kissing him, and, you know, the kid is dirty and smells bad. The father, presumably, is dressed nice and doesn't smell bad.
Yeah.
So this is really an amazing moment. It doesn't tell us what the boy's reaction is, but he's probably thinking to himself, whoa. I didn't anticipate this. I thought I was going to be in for it now when I got home. I thought I just was going to ask him to be a servant, which he did. And, you know, when we confess and when we repent from sin, you know, we're basically telling God, I'm not worthy of this, which is true. But the grace and mercy forgives you of it and takes you into the love, even though you're not worthy of it.
Yeah.
And that's the good news of Christianity.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, we see our own humanness, And we project, I think we project onto God what the love that we receive mm-hmm. from others.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so much different than God's love, because God's love is eternal.
Yeah.
It's infinite. And this story speaks to the depth of God's
yes.
love and how much, you know, it's almost inconceivable to us that how could God love us this much?
Mm.
How could he not say something, you know, telling us and scolding us and make, you know, make us feel even worse than we
yeah.
currently do. And that's not what God does.
Exactly.
That's not at all what God does.
Exactly. And Jesus shows in this story what our unworthiness is, because this boy's dressed in rags and he's wretched. I mean, we stand before God condemned and wretched in our sinful state.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we may be dressed up nice and we might have a nice car. We might have a nice house. We might have a nice job. But in front of God, we stand condemned and wretched. This
yeah.
kid physically is wretched.
Yeah.
If you saw this kid coming, you'd say, whoa.
And, you know, Jesus would always say to the Pharisees, as we were talking about the Pharisees and at first, woe to you Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the outside of the cup is clean,
oh, yeah,
but the inside
yeah.
of the cup is dirty.
Oof. Yeah.
And he's really talking about the condition of the heart.
Amen. Yeah. And this kid knows he's a mess at this point. He's just surprised at what his father's reaction is. And when, you know, when he gives his confession, that's all he has to do. All he does is repent. The father does everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Right down to dressing him, which, you know, is a sign of his restoration that we're going to talk about in a minute. We're coming up on another break. We'll be back in a minute here on The Gift of Grace.
Is my expectation, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for from him is my expectation.